This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by DVC Resale Market. DVC Resale Market has become the leader in the DVC resale industry. They have sold over $400 million in DVC Vacation Club and have over 100 years of combined direct DVC experience. If you're looking to buy or sell, DVC Resale Market wants to put their knowledge and world-class service to work for you. Contact our friend Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market at www.dvcresalemarket.com.
Disney Nerds Podcast. The one and only. It's a good point. Hello. Groot's been talking about you all day. Been trying to get him to listen to you, but he's got a little bit of a short attention span. Can't sit still for that long. We're trying our best. All right. Keep it rocking, my friend.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
The Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the Magic Worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 248 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, how's it going? And welcome back to the show. For this week's show, we've got a really big treat for you. We have an incredible interview with Carol Stein, the Hat Lady from the Rose and Crown over at Epcot. Now, I just said she's from the Rose and Crown. However, wait till you hear this interview. Carol has had an incredible career with Walt Disney World, and she has been in a lot of the different places that I guarantee you've probably heard her play and just not realized it was her. So without further ado, Jimmy, take it away.
Hello, Disney Nerds Podcast. This is Jimmy this week. And this week I have a very, very special guest with us, Miss Carol Stein. Hello, Miss Carol. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. How are you?
I am fantastic. For those that don't know Miss Carol, Miss Carol is the piano lady at the Rose and Crown Pub, which is so fun. I've been in there multiple times and have you had do songs for me about LSU and drinking beer. That's right. And drinking beer and recording podcasts. And so, but that's not where you started, is it?
At Disney, you mean?
Correct.
Or in life?
Well, we know that's not where you started in life, but in Disney, in your Disney life, that's the Rose and Crown is not really where you started. Because I just saw a post recently that you posted on Facebook that your career started over at the Grand Floridian.
My very first day in 1990 with Walt Disney World, I was fortunate enough to perform in the Grand Floridian. That's right. One of my most favorite happy places ever in the world.
And you still perform there sometimes?
I do. I was there about a week and a half ago. I do. I get to play at in the lobby there and at the Princess Tea Party, which I got to be part of one of the creative forces and composing the music for the Princess Tea Party. Yeah. And that's where I started. I first started the first 7 years just playing all over, because I was actually still living in Europe and Asia. I was in Hong Kong and Switzerland. And whenever I'd come home to Disney, I would play. And wherever they needed me, that's where I played. So it was Hoop-Dee-Doo. It was Kids of the Kingdom. And it was whatever shows were going on, whatever season it was. And I would just play wherever they'd want me to play. And I loved it. The variety was fabulous. And got to meet all these different musicians and actors. And then they asked me if I would come home to live in Florida and play at the Comedy Warehouse. Just something so dear to many of our hearts. Were you ever at Pleasure Island?
We were. I've been to the Comedy Warehouse, saw some of the improv there. I mean, it was so long ago. Me and my wife's
It'd
honeymoon.
It'd be 10 years, on September 28th that it closed.
I think, I think I'd only been to the comedy place once. I'd been to, Pleasure Island as a teenager. Mm-hmm. we've been going on Disney trips for quite a long time, but me and my wife did our honeymoon there. And we, yeah, and that was in 2000. And I remember me and my wife did the Comedy Warehouse while we were there and went and watched the improv. And it was,
it was there. I played there for 18 years. It closed in 2008, like I said, 10 years ago. So I was really, really fortunate to be the pianist at the Comedy Warehouse with the most amazingly talented improv actors. Many of them had musical theater backgrounds. So we were really, really strong on improv with music. We would create musicals. We would do reggae, heavy metal, rap, whatever. It was just, what a dream gig. What a dream gig. And I grew so much as an entertainer, as an artist, because of working with these world-class improv artists under the direction of a gentleman named Chris Oyen, who is still a profound show director over at the Magic Kingdom. But he was sort of our godfather who started the Comedy Warehouse. And so, yeah, that was home base. And then I'd still play it all over Disney, but that was home base. That was it. Yeah.
Are a lot of those improv actors still employed by Disney in other roles?
Oh, yeah. I'd say almost 90%, at least 80%. Most of us are still at Disney. You can find them over in the Magic Kingdom and Streetmosphere or the studios, the Hollywood studios, Epcot, all over. Some of them are doing the voiceovers, many of the voiceovers that you hear. Yeah, most of them are still there. And also Jim Roberts, who was the other pianist, he's playing 2 days now over at the Grand Floridian, actually, as well.
It's amazing the level of talent that Disney just employs. I mean, just at the parks. It's incredible. And before we started recording, you know, I'd mentioned to you that we had interviewed Yeehaw Bob before on our show. And
Bob Jackson.
We truly love him. And I know he's very... I can't remember the gentleman's name, but the gentleman that plays the piano outside of Casey's Corner, I know him and Bob are very close.
Yeah.
So I know all of you guys are very close, and you work in close quarters.
Well, most of us have been there over 25 years. I've been with Disney 28 years, and many of the musicians, like the mariachis, they came from California Disneyland to Epcot when it opened. So they've been there all the years that Epcot's been opened. It's just an amazing gig. Like I said, you get to perform with world-class performers, the musicians and the actors that are in the Central Florida area because of Disney and now other theme parks as well.
Sure.
It's phenomenal. And it's a family. It's pretty incredible. You know, we all grew up together in 20s, 30s, 40s and 50s. And, you know, everybody's been together. And still, like I said, most of them are still with Disney. It's an incredible gig to be able to be a pianist and say, yep, I've been employed by the same company for 28 years as a very unusual situation. And as a musician, to get to work with other musicians or other actors, it's a very special situation that I cherish and appreciate. And boy, do I know how fortunate I am.
You mentioned some of the, I think one of the big hidden gems in Disney World is, well, I think any Disney, all the Disney parks, you know, some of the side things that go on that a lot of people just kind of walk by. But you mentioned, you know, some of the Streetmosphere characters at Hollywood Studios. And I think the average theme park guest just walks right by that Kazari Gorn ride, you know, Rock and Roller Coaster, and they walk by that and they miss that magic.
Ah, but when they see them, they're the ones that make the magic. What makes Disney. That is what made Disney is the live entertainment.
It is.
The live musicians, the live. Now, it, you know, through the years, things change depending on what's going on in the world and economy. And you walk in the park and right away you see these crazy, amazingly warm and funny and welcoming street people like on Main Street. When you walk in and you get to see some of these people, it starts your day with, wow, it's that wow factor.
Yeah.
And they're very, very gifted actors and improv artists as well. But live music, live actors, that's what set Disney apart. And we're hoping they're going to continue and bring back and make even more live musicians. And have you been over to Animal Kingdom lately?
Yeah, we go pretty often. It's been, I live in New Orleans, but we come there probably, I'm coming down for Labor Day. It'll be my fourth trip this year.
Well, they have some live drum shows.
Oh, yeah.
With some of the most ridiculously talented drummers. It's just phenomenal. And they are great guys. I got to meet many of them this past year. And that, again, you know, it's a gorgeous park. It's aesthetically exquisite.
Absolutely.
And it's so creative. But having this live musicians who really, these guys love what they do. And they're so good at it. That's that extra essence, that Disney magic that goes, wow, yeah, this is gorgeous. This is cool. The rides are the most phenomenal. But wow, top it off with live musicians in awesome costumes that are creating this musical environment. It's pretty cool.
And I think another thing that they do really well that I've seen you do is they get the crowd interaction. They get the people. They pull the crowd up there. They've got them dancing. They've got them. I mean, it's a party. Yeah. You know, it's not, you're not just watching them. You're in it. You're involved.
Well, that's one of the coolest aspects of what I get to do at the Rose and Crown. I'm sitting right there in the pub on the floor. And when you walk in the door, there I am. So I get to really meet people and celebrate them. You know, it's not about Carol Stein being on stage playing piano. It's about Carol Stein getting to say, hey, come on to the pub. Let's have a great time in this amazing, the Rose and Crown pub, which is aesthetically gorgeous too, with a really fine cast. The people there that are serving you, they're all from the UK. They're all from England and Scotland and Wales and Northern Ireland and Ireland. And they're just wonderful. And many have been there many years. So it's a real solid cast of characters when you walk in. But I get to sit there and meet you and get to know your name and where are you from and what are you celebrating? And you get the whole pub involved. And there were some people that came in today. They said, hi, Miss Carol. We came in when we were engaged and we came in when we were married. And then we came in on our first anniversary. Now it's our second anniversary. And they said, you're part of our romantic life and our future. And it was just, my heart was just smiling. You really get to celebrate people having a great time at Disney.
I think for me as a, you know, as a Disney nerd and doing this podcast, we've been doing this for 5 years. And part of a big part of my trips down is getting to meet some of the cast members and making that connection. And it's what sets for us that go down often. That's what sets for me. That's what sets one trip apart from another. And like, so I know Carl. I don't know him well, but we've talked to him many times. We did a whole YouTube video about Carl and it's in the Carl's combo. Most of the people listen to the show know that the Rose and Crown holds a very special, dear place in my heart. It's one of my favorite places in Walt Disney World.
Good.
on my last trip there, me and my wife stayed at Old Key West for the first time.
Nice.
And we went over to the bar at the Old Key West and we got to meet, Miss Lorna, who's been there forever. She actually trained Carl. So it's like, and she's from Scotland.
Oh,
and
wow.
Yeah, so, you know, you get to make all these connections, all these different people that that been around have crossed paths and they all know each other. And it's such a great environment. And and going back to the street entertainment, you know, that's, we've done shows that, you know, what are our biggest tips for people going down to Walt Disney that don't go often or may have never been? And mine is always slow down a little bit. Take in the details, look for those extra things, because that's the things that set Disney apart from just any other theme park. It's all those details.
But that's part of the details is what makes Disney.
Absolutely.
Whether it's the Imagineers that make it physically and aesthetically awe-inspiring because of the details, whether it's the costumes. You know, when you sit there and your little girl goes to see the princess, or when your son gets the pirates, or your daughter gets to the pirates, and you look at the details of Cutting Jack's costume, and then all around the park, if you look at the details, everything has a reason to be there. When you're walking down Main Street and you're looking at the shops and there's a name on the shop, that's a real person. They're honoring someone.
Oh, yeah.
Everything has a reason to be there. And I think the entertainment is exactly like that. The show directors, they have a story, because everything Disney does is all about storytelling. And there's a story. And they want to bring the guests into that story so they can celebrate the storytelling of Disney. And that's what's so cool about the street mode people.
Love it.
Is they do that. You know, they're dressed in their wonderful costumes there on Main Street. And they celebrate with you, and you get to have your pictures with them, and those are memories that you create forever. So, yeah.
So, how long have you been at the Rose and Crown?
It will be 10 years on September 30th. It will be my 10th anniversary. The Comedy Warehouse at Pleasure Island closed on September 28th, And then there was Sunday, and then on Monday, September 30th, 2008, that's when I started.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then your character's changed just a little bit over the time that you've been there. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, they first had me, I was known as the Hat Lady. And there was a concept of all these hats, and every hat had a story, because it's Disney. And then I would do songs that related to that hat. If I was wearing an Irish cap, I would do Irish songs. If I were wearing a London hat, such as the Pearly Queen hat, I would sing London songs. If I had on my Mary Poppins hat, I would sing Mary Poppins songs. If I had on a veil like a bride, I would celebrate someone who was engaged or on their honeymoon. Or every hat had a story. And that went on for about 5 years. And then they changed the concept where I was the only woman doing the hat lady, and when I had subs, it was kind of silly to have the concept of the hat lady when there were guys that were subs when I was on vacation or doing another Disney entity.
Sure.
So they changed it to Carol Stein and just the pub musician. It's just the pub musician, and when I'm there, I'm Carol Stein, the pub musician. There's a gentleman named Chris Levy, and he plays. He's Chris Levy, the pub musician. There's a guy, Kelly Dwayne Richards. He's another sub, and so he's the pub musician, and so we are the Disney Rose and Crown pub musician.
I love it. I love the whole idea. I love the fact that you get people involved and you get to meet people there. And then you still get to go play at the Grand Floridian, which is how often is that kind? How does that work? How does all that work when they pull you?
Oh, it just
you?
Depends. Let's say the you know, there's other gigs like Hoop De Doo and other shows, and you know, we all go on vacations. We've you know that's sure. part of the life. And so if somebody's out on vacation and they'd ask me to play, and then one of my subs will play for me and I'll go play somewhere else, or if they have a private event, or if they have a convention. Or whatever it is they need, if they'll ask if I'm available, and if I am, then I do something else, and then my sub will play. And when I go on vacation, I love to travel around the world still. I like to go back to Europe. I'm getting ready to go back to China in September. I
recently followed you all around on your Facebook page, and it was wonderful. It really was.
That was a great show. Yeah, we just did a cruise from England to St. Petersburg, Russia. We did a Baltic cruise. That was great. But I'm going to be taking off. I'll be gone 3 weeks in September. We're going to go to China. And we're going to go to the Shanghai Disney and the Hong Kong Disney.
God.
I'm a Disney nerd too, just so you know.
So I was going to ask that because that's something we ask. That's something we ask every guest that comes on the show. You know, what makes Carol Stein a Disney nerd, or, you know, kind of the story of how your love for Disney started and, you know, what
well,
makes you a
Disney
nerd?
Well, I was born here in Florida.
Okay.
This is my home. I'm a Florida native and I grew up here, and my father built homes for the people that built Disney. So we lived here before Disney. This is when Florida was all, my brother was a cowboy. It was all orange trees and horses and cows.
Wow.
Which we still have a lot of.
Sure.
A lot. But, so Disney, you know, is a part of our life. We used to always watch Walt Disney World at 8 o'clock on Sunday night, the wonderful, colorful world of Walt Disney. And, it's part of your life and and the music. Oh my gosh. The Sherman Brothers. I got to meet Richard Sherman and sit at a piano with Richard Sherman.
We were lucky enough a couple years ago to interview Jeffrey Sherman, who's the son of Bob.
Oh.
And it was amazing to be just that close to, you know, connected to him. And
yes.
Yeah.
So sitting at a piano with him was just stellar. Oh my God. It's one of my favorite Disney nerd pictures. I just love it. But I do. I love the music. Mostly what I really love about Disney is the positive, optimistic Disney philosophy. You know, they want to tell a story. They want to entertain. They try to be creative, and they try to instill and inspire creativity. And I love that. And that's why I love even Comedy Warehouse. You know, it was Disney property Comedy Warehouse. It wasn't just any improv show. We didn't do Disney themed things. The first year they did, but after that it was total improv. But you had to keep it to a level of creativity that was for children up to from 2 to 99. And so therefore you could not use language that other improv shows perhaps use, or go to places that other improv shows go to.
Sure.
And that meant you had to be even more clever, which our actors are, and which I love. So I love the Disney philosophy. It's a positive influence in the world. I just think it is. And I love that. And I love the colors, and I love the creativity, and I love the inspiration. And when I see a child come up and say, "Oh, I'm taking piano lessons too." I said, "Really? Would you like to play something for me?" And their mom and dad are there with the videos watching their kid playing their little Fur Elise on the piano. And the kid gets applause, and it gets to inspire them to continue loving their music. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing, I think, that Disney does. And I just love it. I just think it's an awesome part of our society that we've given a positive thing to the world. And I'm glad I get to be a tiny part of it.
I agree. And, even as just a fan podcast, I feel like, the same way. I feel like Disney makes me look. We're all human and we all have good days and bad days, but
yeah.
In the end, every day, if I'm having a bad day, believe me, usually there's something Disney related that can snap that around and make me think about how great I actually have it, and that I have this passion and this love for Disney, and I get to share that with a lot of people and the Disney community is great too, because
it's filled with
people like me and you. And we get to share that together. So that's amazing.
I mean, I love to go to Disney on our nights off. We'll go over there. We'll go to the Animal Kingdom and go to the Nomad Lounge, have a glass of wine, have some appetizers, go on a safari at night. And my friends who also work at Disney, we love Disney as people say, "Oh, you probably don't go to Disney when you're not working." Yeah, we do.
That's an interesting phenomenon with Disney. And I have a lot of friends who are cast members, and a lot of them, that spend their days off, they still go to the parks and visit as a guest. And it's interesting because I don't know how many other places that people work that you would find that.
Yeah. And like on our vacation, we're going to go do a tour of China, but then afterwards we're taking 3 extra days just so we can be in Shanghai to go to Shanghai Disney, and we'll stay on Disney property at the Disney Shanghai Disneyland. And we're going to, it's a different concept over there. I can't wait. And then when we go to Hong Kong, we're going to take a day to go to the Disneyland Hong Kong and explore that. And
that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
One of the things I think they do so well, and one of the things that keeps us always excited for the future, is just the constant changes that happen in Disney.
Yeah.
Some of them bother us because it's something that we like that they get rid of. But I'm one of the people though that says, we have to judge it by its replacement and not judge it because it holds some sentiment of value.
Well, I remember the very first big thing was Mr. Toad's Wild Ride.
Oh, people lost
when
their minds.
When they were going to get rid of that, people were up in arms. That's Mr. Toad's. They had so many memories of people as kids,
Yeah, that's true. but one of the things that, makes us, keep coming back is think about you going to Shanghai, and I think about, the number one attraction in Shanghai is this Tron coaster. And you know what? They're bringing it here for us.
Yeah, but there's also apparently the Pirates of the Caribbean is phenomenal.
Oh, it's amazing.
They have an action show too.
I've only seen the video.
Me too.
Yeah, I've watched the YouTube video of the Pirates of the Caribbean, and it's pretty darn amazing. And then I just had a friend go over to Disneyland in France and Paris, and the biggest ride there is the Ratatouille ride.
Yeah, which we're getting now.
And they're bringing that here to us. So it's like, God, man, when they're all done with this and we all see it, I mean, we know that they're prepping for the 50th anniversary. So it's an exciting time to be
a
Disney fan.
Even my husband, we got married at the Grand Floridian.
Oh, wow.
So I wanted to stay there. And then we went to Disneyland Paris for our honeymoon. Only because I was already booked on a cruise to perform in France. So afterwards, while we were there, we went to Disneyland Paris for our honeymoon too.
Is he as big of a Disney nerd as you, or do you kind of have to drag him around?
Only by osmosis, I guess. Because, okay. Actually, he used to come to Comedy Warehouse before I knew him. He used to come to Disney. He used to come here for a dose of positive energy. Like you said, he used to live in Sarasota. And when he was having a bad day, he'd come over to Disney. Yes, he did.
That's awesome. That's fantastic. My wife is every bit as big of a fan. But like when we're doing the podcast stuff and she didn't want to be anywhere near a microphone or a camera or anything like that. Like she wants to be behind the scenes a little bit and, enjoy it. But, she'd rather be behind the camera. She doesn't want to be in front of it. So
Lately my husband is very much, accepting that most of my friends in my life has to do with those people who I perform with and work with. We're real friends out of Disney as well. And he loves them and he adores them and he admires them. They're just such giving, caring, loving people that happen to be incredibly talented. And like I said, we're such a family because we've worked together for so many years. And he loves that. And they've wrapped their arms around him to be part of the family. So in that respect, he loves it. But he has his own business that he runs. And that's his business. And then he gets to enjoy the love of Disney.
So as a performer in Disney, I mean, you really have to put yourself out there, not only just as a performer, because a performer, a lot of places, you just perform, but in Disney, you not only perform, but you interact so much. Has that always been natural for you? Have you always been like that extrovert, or is that something that you kind of had to grow into? And would you say, a lot of creative people are introverts. So
yeah, I never had that problem.
No, okay. I didn't think you did. Just judged by just from meeting you a couple of times and talking to you, it seems like you're kind of like me, just kind of a natural.
Piano. I started classical lessons at age 4. There was a piano in the house. I started when I was 2 or 3, just playing. And my mom taught me to read music because she was a musician, and then she took me for formal lessons at age 4. And so I've always performed. And you always get butterflies. I don't care where you are or where you're playing. When you're going on that stage, you want to do your best. And you're saying, oh, are they going to enjoy this? And you always get butterflies. But once your fingers hit those keys, I just love it. And whether I perform outside of Disney, of course, and I give concerts. And like I say, I traveled around the world playing in jazz clubs. And it's what I do. It's what I love. And I love to share my passion of music. And like Bob, Bob, he's very active. We both use our music for a lot of charity.
Oh, I see his stuff all the time. Yeah. And I've been friends with him longer than I've been with you. And I know he does all kinds of stuff at libraries and Give Kids the World. And
yes, exactly. Yeah. So we do that. We both do a lot of that. I was involved in the Steinway Society where I give concerts. All the money goes to buy kids pianos and piano lessons for kids that couldn't have them. Seniors and that's what we do with our music. It's a passion, but I've always done it and it's something I love. So how cool that I get to use something I love to help other people as well. I always say I love to help make the world a better place one note at a time. That's one of my philosophies.
That really, that's so fantastic that you guys take your time off. Like now you guys are busy in your own right. And then to take that time and spend it doing stuff like that is truly amazing. Let me ask you this. Playing 4 days, like let's say you play 4 days in a row at the Rose and Crown, and then you got a day you got to go play at the Grand Floridian.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it to flip that switch? Because those two scenarios are so very, very different.
Oh, it's not hard at all. It's absolutely a delight, actually.
Okay.
Because you're going into this elegant ambiance where you're playing Gershwin and you're playing, you get to be creative with other juices that you have and you get to use other skills and other songs and melodies. It's actually it's a dose of refreshing. And I think that's one reason Disney does that is you want to have that. You want to be instilled with and then you go back to the pub and you're all freshed. Or if you're at the Hoop-Dee-Doo, you're doing a show and you're working with other actors. And then you go back to the pub or then you go to do a private event. You know, Disney has all these wonderful private conventions and things. And you get to work with other people doing other aspects. So it all helps in the creativity always to keep fresh.
Yeah, you're not really getting burnt out. You know, it's not the same thing every day where it's like that. It becomes to be that daily grind and you get to mix it up a little bit. So that's pretty awesome.
Well, at least at the pub, it's never the same because the guests are always different. They always want to hear different songs. You could have one set where it's all kids. They want to hear Disney music. You could have one set where lots of Scottish people there. You're doing lots of Scottish songs. another set where there's a lot of people from Ireland and you want to do all Irish songs. And then you have the Brits and you do the Brit songs. And then you have college kids and they want to hear Elton John. And so it's always different at the pub, but even leaving the ambiance of the pub to do something else in Disney or even outside of Disney, it's very important to make sure that you do stay fresh to do what you do do.
One of my co-hosts, Ed, got to do a tour. He did one of the tours in Epcot and got to go into the, I guess it's the private event area of Coral Reef and talked about.
The Living Seas. Yeah.
The Living Seas with the glass piano. Have you played there? Yes. Have you played the glass piano?
Many times.
That's
many
amazing.
Times.
That's amazing.
Oh, it's one of my favorites. Part of the wall is the aquarium.
Yeah.
So you're sitting there and you're playing on this gorgeous, see-through piano and all of a sudden a shark comes by. And then the turtle comes by. And then Scuba Mickey might come by.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's great.
So, other than, and I'm going to have to rule out you picking the UK. What is your favorite pavilion in Epcot? Your favorite country?
Oh, that's hard. You know, for food or for entertainment or for aesthetics or I love to travel. All over the world. I love them all. I couldn't pick one. I love the music. When you go to France, and you go into the movie and they're playing all this music by French composers.
Oh, it's amazing.
Like Claire de Lune or Debussy. Or if you go into the American Pavilion that they just recently did and you're seeing the technology and the story of America. Or you get to hear the Voices of Liberty. Oh, my goodness.
They're one of my favorites.
Or you get to go to Morocco and you get to eat that spice table, right? Oh, I love it. Or you go to Mexico and you get to hear the mariachis who are just this, you know, three generations of musicians that have been playing together forever and love each other. Or you know, every pavilion has its fortes. I don't think I can answer that one. Sorry.
All right. So what's your... So it seems like now they have pretty much a festival almost. I mean, other than the summer, you go to the holidays in Epcot, then you have now the Festival of the Arts, which I've been to both years since it's been there because my birthday's in January and we've done trips, the first 2 years of it, which is fantastic to me. It's one of the better festivals to go listen to the Broadway singers in concert is amazing. And then that runs right into, to Flower and Garden, and then you get the summer, and then boom, you get Food and Wine starts in August, pretty much. What's your favorite festival?
Well, it used to be Flower and Garden, which it's a tie with, I love the Festival of the Arts.
I do too.
Because you get not only the gorgeousness of Disney, the weather is gorgeous, the food, it's presented so artistically and is so delicious, and you get the Broadway stars. And they're getting ready for the Flower and Garden Festival too. So everything's, you know, I think I might have to say that one, but, if not, then, and I love, oh my gosh, I love the holiday time. The decorations are so exquisite and you get to go around to each country and you get to see all the, and they change those too. They change the presentation of celebrating the holidays of each country. They've, you know, always enhanced each year different things. And, Food and Wine Festival would probably not be at the top of my list.
Okay.
But it's at the top of almost everybody else's list.
I could see where that would be tough for you guys who have to work it. Because it gets a little, especially the weekends get a little bit. Look, the Rose and Crown is one of my favorite places, and I don't like particularly going in there during Food and Wine. It's such a madhouse. It's just so hard to get in there.
People are enjoying.
You can't knock them, but look, when we go there and there's not a festival going on, or even during Flower and Garden, like, we were there during Flower and Garden at the, you know, more of our family vacation with my kids who are older teenagers and some other family. And you get to go in there during that time, and it was during the week, and the tables are actually in there. You can go get a table and go outside and get some fish and chips and grab a pint and really relax and enjoy the place. Is much nicer than, you know, the craziness that is Food and Wine at
it
the
is
Rose
its own
Crown.
Special entity. And, you know, certain people come just for that. They love the various foods from around the world. And they love trying new drinks that they otherwise perhaps would not. And they love the ambiance. And the bands, the music.
Oh, the music. Yeah, it's incredible.
You know, and even in summer, though, they have the bands, the summer things. And, you know, every season has its fortes, again. And each person has what they enjoy about each one. I happen to think the Art Festival of the Arts is probably my favorite because it has a bit of everything. has the aesthetic beauty, it has the food, it has the interesting alcoholic entities, libations to try. But boy, the entertainment is
just incredible.
Yeah.
And I like what you said, that if you know what, if you go toward the end of the Festival of the Arts, you're probably going to see a lot of topiaries and stuff like that already popping up for Flower and Garden, which is really, you get a little special treat because you kind of get to enjoy, you get to enjoy both of them. But I agree.
And of course, you know, there's the horticulturist at Disney. Every season is gorgeous. No matter what.
It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing. But it's crazy how beautiful it already is. And then when it comes to Flower and Garden, especially, you know, around the lagoon and all, when they get them big beds full of all the different colored flowers and there's patterns, and it amazes me how much work goes into that. And they just do an incredible, incredible job. I've heard people start to refer to it as Food and Garden because it seems like all of the festivals now that they really like got the idea that all those people love those food booths for food and wine. So they're really incorporating those more and more in the Flower and Garden. Not to the same extent, but there's a lot of great food booths for Flower and Garden as well.
Yeah, there is. I really liked, when they did, the Honey Bistro. That was one that I really, really liked. The Honey Bistro, where they had all these different entities made with honey. And I loved everything. I loved everything about it.
I wanted to say we tried something there, and I don't remember what it was.
Well, they had the flatbread that had honey, like a chicken tandoori with honey. And then they had the honey mascarpone cheesecake.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm thinking... I think I'm thinking of the pineapple place, because wasn't there a pineapple place around there too, right at the front of it? And there was like a there was like a hot dog with like some type of spicy pineapple. It's amazing. They do so much great stuff. It's hard to experience it all. I tell people when they're going, especially during Food and Wine, because there's so many booths, I'm like, look, you need to go with four people you're comfortable sharing food with.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. That's great.
Because that way you get one of each thing at each booth, and you split it four ways, and it allows you to try that many more booths.
Yeah, you get to try a lot of different things. Yeah. It's true. And the portions are actually quite large that they give you at the Art Festival of the Arts.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. They're a nice size tapas. Yeah, it's quite good.
That's so good. Now you're making me want to see. And I'm going to be there first. We're going Labor Day weekend, I'll be coming down, just me and my son, and we got some friends who are meeting us over there that help us out with the podcast. So they'll be
Fun.
Yeah, so we're gonna have a good time with that. And then in November, every year in the fall, we do a big like Disney Nerds podcast meetup. And we do a food and wine meetup on a Friday night. And then Saturday, this will be the fifth year, we do a scavenger hunt in one of the parks. This year it'll be in Animal Kingdom.
Oh, nice. Oh, that's fun. I love the scavenger. I love when they do that.
My co-host Ed puts together these scavenger hunts, and you know, usually we get about probably 30 or 35 people that show up, and we break them up in teams and give them a scavenger hunt and send them out, and we give little prizes away and stuff for the winners. But it's more about the fun and learning all the stuff. It's all these little nerdy details.
You'll be there the first weekend of September then.
I'll be there the first. Yep. I'll be there August 30th. Through September, I leave September 4th. You're just kind of
good. I'll be there because I don't leave till the 5th.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Yay. So you'll be at the, you should, what's your typical schedule? So if people are wondering, like, do you play the weekends at Rosencrown? What are your typical days?
I play 5 days a week.
Okay.
I have Fridays and Saturdays off. There's no music on Friday and Saturdays there. So it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we do four sets a day. We do 1:15, 2:15, 3:15, 4:15.
We will definitely, whatever it takes, we will definitely make a trip one of those days to come see you.
They have it in the Disney portal, you know, on the Disney app.
Oh, yeah, in the app. Yeah. My Disney Experience app. Exactly. Well, good. We'll make sure we'll come stop by and say hello and have you sing us a song.
I look forward to it. This has been so delightful.
It's been so nice having you on. It's so nice chatting with you. I love your enthusiasm and
we appreciate you very, very much. You and all of your fans that listen to this the podcast that you do. It's great. I mean, we really do appreciate it. We do. And I'm so glad there's people like you that share this passion like most of us do.
It's an interesting conundrum we find ourselves in, because we want to share all these great things with Disney, about Disney, like you and your shows and stuff. But then some, in a little bit of a greedy way, we kind of want to keep those little things to ourselves so we can, so when we go enjoy it, it's not too packed, you know?
Yeah, I think those days are over.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that's interesting that you guys don't play Friday and Saturday. It probably makes sense because those are the days that that place is probably.
Almost 2 years ago, I played. I had Sundays and Mondays off, and I used to play nights. We used to play 5, 6, 7, 8 nights. So I was the latest performer, and I would perform till the fireworks. And they decided the guests would get a better experience in the daytime. And I think they're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I think it was a very wise decision, and I love it. And so you come in for lunch, have some fish and chips, you sit down, you cool down a little bit, get some air conditioned, get entertained, and then you can get on with your evening and discovering the other countries around the world. And yeah, it was a good decision. At first I was like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And it really turned out to be a very, very cool decision. Yeah.
Well, that's good. That's good. Well, great. I look forward to seeing you in a month or so.
All righty. You take care. Have a
good
August.
Miss Carol. Thank you. Thank you so much for coming on. We truly appreciate it, and we'll see you real soon.
Thank you so much. Bye.
Bye-bye.
me.